Welcome to another week of Free Basketball. I am your host, Ryan Meadows, and this is going to be a little different of a week. You will hear probably better explanation later when Cody comes on for his segment of Last Mascot Standing, but Cody is not here right now. We had a little scheduling thing that, honestly, my fault, I forgot about. So I have to do this segment solo, and Cody recorded his own segment doing the Last Mascot Standing. So his little segment is coming up in a little bit with Last Mascot Standing. But for me, you're going to have just me talking about our NBA Finals and the matchup that we have now for sure between the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat. That, of course, is coming up tonight, I guess, when you will listen to this on Thursday morning. But first, before we get into a lot of stuff, like, I'm not going to go over every single detail. I'm just going over things that stand out to me and what's going on throughout these playoffs for both of these teams and things that might look for. So maybe some storylines, like, what are the Heat going to do? Definitely some X factors and obviously a prediction. And I also have, an interesting final thought leading up to that prediction. So before we even get into it, I mean, I have to give out Cody's prediction, and he has Denver Nuggets in five, which I think is a great way to start out this playoffs or start out this finals preview, is to talk about how everyone seems to be picking the Nuggets, and the Nuggets not only to win the NBA Finals, but to absolutely dominate the Miami Heat in the finals themselves. And it's kind of weird, right? Because usually you wouldn't say someone would dominate them. But I think everyone is looking at the seeding, which I don't blame them. It's a 1 versus 8 seed. Usually 8 seeds don't fare very well in the playoffs in the NBA in general. And I think the last time they were in the finals was like 1999, and the Spurs won that one over the New York Knicks. So it's not like there's this track record where 8 seeds win the NBA finals. It just doesn't happen. And I also think people are looking at what happened with the Heat, almost letting up a 3-0 lead to the Boston Celtics as a sign of, well, the Nuggets would destroy the Miami Heat. The Heat just aren't deep enough. They're not good enough. You know, they're relying on all these, you know, undrafted free agents. Jimmy Butler is awesome. You know, trademarking Hemi buckets. Bam Adebayo, great defensive player, but he can't score. So it seems like everybody's making all these excuses or giving all these reasons why Miami won't win, instead of where there's plenty of reasons I think that Miami can win. I don't know if we're going to go super deep into that, because I don't know how long we're going to be here tonight. But in general, I thought the Eastern Conference was the better conference. Overall, the better conference and deeper conference, I thought the teams are better in the East than what were in the West this year. Because I'm looking at conference, you know, the standings and how these teams did. I mean, the Nuggets are the one seed in the West. They're 53-29. And I thought, well, the Heat, you know, they're a 7 seed. They lost a play-in game and were almost, you know, 3 minutes away from being out of the playoffs completely. So they were about 500. Their record this year was actually respectable, 44-38. Now, I know that's not devastating, and that's not a fantastic record for an Eastern Conference team, but I also think that lends to the overall quality of what the Eastern Conference this year. So I think that the East overall in general was better than what the West was, and so I don't know how that fits. Like, you can't compare it apples to apples to what the Heat did this year and what the Nuggets did, because the Nuggets were obviously a much better regular season team than the Miami Heat were. But we're seeing it right now with the Miami Heat with this run. You cannot count them out. You cannot discredit them. And so I think the East overall being so much better than what the West was, I mean, you put the same record from the Heat in the West, I think they're like a 5 seed. Or a 4 or 5 seed, something like that in the West. So if you can compare, if you want to compare it that way, you can. Me personally, I thought the East was better. But obviously the biggest storyline going into all this, and everybody's talking about it, is can Miami actually slow down the Nuggets offense? Because the Nuggets offense this year have been shooting 49% as a team from the floor, 38% from three, which is really good efficiency for a playoff team. 119.7 per 100 possessions It would make them the most efficient playoff offense in like the last 6 years, I think. I think the last team to have this crazy efficient of an offense through an entire playoff run would be like the Cavaliers or something like that in 2016, 2017. The interesting thing about this, the Heat and the Nuggets did play each other twice this year. First game was in Denver on December 30th. The Nuggets won it 124 to 119. The only kind of real marker about that, both these games, like the Heat didn't have everybody for either game. I think the only constant in both games was that Jimmy Butler played in both and Tyler Hero played in both. But that first game where the Nuggets won 124 to 119, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, or as he'll be known from this from going forward in his podcast as KCP, he went a ridiculous 7 for 7 from the field. He was 100% in that game and scored 20 points. February 13th was the second and last time they played. In Miami, the Nuggets win at 112 to 108. And once again, Miami's missing a bunch of people. The only people that are constant at play, Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero. So the thing with the Heat is, what I look at it is, are they big enough really defensively to hold up if this is going to turn into a long series? Like, is it better for the Heat to try to go all out and win this in 4 or 5 games? Or are they going to try to do the strategy thing where they, okay, Denver, you can have 1 and 2, or at least game one, and we're going to ratchet it up for the remaining 6 games? I think it's kind of better for them if they try to go for this and end it early. Because to me, just the overall size of the Nuggets is going to wear down on them. The size and the physicality is going to wear down on the smaller Miami Heat lineups and their thinner bench and thinner rotation if it did go to 6 or 7. So I'm kind of interested to see if Miami is actually going to go hard for game one or if they're going to punt it, because then it can kind of tell me what they feel more comfortable with going throughout this series. So also with that, Miami has had a lot of success with their zone defense. And they've played it really high. They've played it really aggressive. No one has really, I guess you can't say like figured it out or maybe have had the players to exploit it. Obviously, the Celtics struggle with it. They chuck threes. That is their MO. We know that the Nuggets are not going to do that with Jokic, right? Like, Jokic is going to get pressured at the top of the key by that zone. And I expect Miami to actually play it. He's going to actually be able to find the guys who are going to be around the basket, right? Aaron Gordon, KCP going through in there, Bruce Brown coming off the bench. Jamal Murray's always active and cutting on those kind of things. So I'm interested to see how effective the Heat zone is and how often they'll go to it. Will they start with that, or will it kind of be like a break glass in case of emergency thing? Because it is kind of like their pet defense win. They either just got to survive for a length of time with someone on the bench like Jimmy or Bam, or if they're just trying to show a different look, if the Nuggets are just killing them, dicing them in man-to-man defense. So that's kind of the thing that leads to me with, Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra, we've talked about him on his podcast before. We love him as a coach. It's kind of to me where he's going to have to pick a poison, right? Like, is he going to focus on, and say pick a poison is not like it's only a case to him. Everybody in the NBA, when you get deep into the playoffs, you have to pick and choose what you're going to give up and what you're going to try to take away, right? You have to live with certain things. You have to live, if you're the Boston Celtics, with Caleb Martin going off on you every single night because he's just not going to be in your game plan to where he's priority. And then Caleb Martin has an awesome Eastern Conference Finals where he's just consistent, always hitting those tough open mid-ranges, hitting threes, the creation. And it was funny that a lot of people thought he should have been Conference Finals MVP. Obviously, it should have gone to Jimmy Butler. If you're just looking at counting stats, sure. Or the outlier performance from Caleb Martin, sure. But Jimmy creates all of that stuff for Caleb and everyone else. So Caleb performed well in the role where he was not keyed in on. So the Celtics didn't key in on someone like Caleb Martin. What is Spoelstra going to do? Because he's going to do something or try to figure out a strategy to take something away from you. Is he going to focus in on slowing down Jokic and Jamal Murray? Like, is his priority going to be, let's see if we can slow this two-man game and we'll let everyone else on the court bomb us from three, or maybe dive us on a couple of back doors or get some layups or something, we're just not going to allow Jokic and Murray to kill us? Or is it going to be the opposite? We'll let Jokic and Murray do their thing. They'll kill us for 30 points, 35 points apiece. We're going to keep everyone else in check so that it wears on those two guys that they have to have the offensive burden where they have to create everything because we've taken away the other three people on the court. That is the kind of pick your poison thing that I'm looking for, and I'm very interested to see unfold over this series because I do think this is going to be a close series compared to what everybody else in media and anybody who watches the NBA has thought, right? And we'll get to more of that later on. But to kind of go back with Jamal Murray and the playoffs that he is having, averaging 27.7 points per game, shooting splits 48% from the field, 40% from three, 92% free throw shooting. He is having an awesome playoffs once again. It's a great story you've heard out in the locker room with Mike Malone and him having that conversation. Jamal Murray, after he got injured, was saying, "Are you going to trade me now?" And that's kind of the harsh, brutal reality of the NBA, right? Like, it's sad that players, if they have an injury like an ACL, their first thought is the team's going to ditch me. And that's kind of a sad state for the NBA to be in, right? When the players feel that way. And you certainly understand why players do their own things with media or look out for themselves on trade, try to get the most money, because fans and front offices will turn on people in a heartbeat. And so it was a really nice story to see that the Michael Malone Denver Nuggets organization was like, "No, you're our guy." And here he is in the playoffs once again, proving them right. And he's had really nice moments in the playoffs, especially in the Lakers series. I know it was a sweep against the Lakers, but I do think that series is closer than everybody thinks. Because we said last week or the week or two before, whatever it was, Jamal Murray has to have a 20-point fourth quarter for the Lakers to not steal home court. You know, he has a really nice game to kind of stave off the run by the Lakers. Jokic hits some crazy late shots in game four to stave off another win. Like, there's a possibility going back where those things don't happen. That series is tied up 2-2. And then it's a different conversation. Do the Nuggets still probably win it because they have home court back? Yeah, probably. But I think that even though it was a sweep and 4-0, everybody focused on that, oh, they just absolutely dominated, which offensively they did. The Lakers were a really, really good defense in the postseason. And offensively, the Nuggets just had a little bit more that they could adjust to and go to that the Lakers could not take away everything. And this is the same problem for the Heat. They're not going to be able to take away everything. But is it going to be kind of a first-time jitters for the Nuggets in the NBA Finals? Are those shooting splits for Jamal Murray and the team in general, which are really good efficiency scoring? I mean, the team shooting almost 50% from the field and 38% from three is crazy efficient for playoff runs, especially through three rounds. And Jamal Murray with his shooting splits, 48, 40, 92, do we see that regress a little bit? And if that offensive efficiency regresses, do the Miami Heat have enough offensively to steal a couple, to make this interesting? Or is the Miami offense also a team that's going to run out of steam? I mean, they've played, I guess you wouldn't say the Knicks series was overly difficult, but I know the Bucks was done pretty early too, but the Boston Celtics, that was a grueling series. To go up 3-0, to let them back in 3-3, to win in Boston in Game 7, then turn right around to fly out to Denver to play at altitude 2 days later, it is very tough mentally. But the team that you would say is the most ready mentally to handle that kind of situation would be the Miami Heat, right? And the thing with Denver, they've been off for more than a week. What is it, 9 to 10 days now? Are they going to be ready for game one? Is there a rust factor? I know they've been working a practice, but is that going to matter when the lights turn on in NBA Finals game one on your home floor? Is the pressure going to mount? It's not going to mount for Jokic. We know Jokic is rock solid, right? Is it going to be Jamal Murray and the other guys who are going to be affected? So there's a lot of little factors I'm really looking forward to. Another little factor I'm looking forward to, a matchup specifically, is Aaron Gordon guarding Jimmy Butler. I think we all assume that Aaron Gordon is going to guard Jimmy. He's defended Karl-Anthony Towns. He's guarded LeBron. Like, he has been a very multifaceted, versatile defender with guys who are, but I would say both Cat and LeBron are more perimeter oriented, but will go inside and try to bruise and back you down. And that's going to be an interesting matchup if he indeed guards Jimmy. I don't think it'll be someone like KCP because of the physicality with Jimmy going inside. I would assume it would be Aaron Gordon because I'm not really sure who else Aaron Gordon's going to guard. But Jimmy Butler doesn't shoot threes, which I think only strengthens Aaron Gordon's case defensively because he won't have to chase him out there on the perimeter, worry about the pull-up shots. Now, I think Jimmy is going to actually shoot threes in the finals. He shot a handful of them against the Celtics, right? He's done it all playoffs. But he likes to get into the mid-range. He likes to work there. He likes to back people down, take advantage of his physicality and score over people. Aaron Gordon can match that and is actually taller than him at 6'8". I think Jimmy Butler's 6'5", 6'6", something like that. But Aaron Gordon, it's a great matchup just looking, profile-wise and style-wise. It is a good matchup for Aaron Gordon defensively. I think the biggest thing, obviously, is he has to stay out of foul trouble. And I think that is going to be a big key for the series. If Jimmy Butler's able to get Aaron Gordon in foul trouble, there's really not another guy on the Denver Nuggets who can really go one-on-one against him. Jimmy's going to get to the basket and is going to use his power over anyone else. The other thing about, with the Miami Heat on offense, it does take a lot of pressure off Jokic as well, right? Because he will probably, if we had to guess, guard Bam Adebayo, who we know is not a wing perimeter threat. He's more of a pick and roll, the pick and pop, a little floater. And we know his offense can go in and out game to game, it seems like, especially when his floater is not going in. So Jokic is going to be able to play off and help on Jimmy's stuff as well. So it'll be interesting to kind of see. Jokic will have to. It'll be interesting to see if Miami's going to use a lot of sets, or not sets, but actions with Bam, where a lot of screens, ghost screens, flare screens, pin downs for guards to try to get Jokic away from the basket to maybe get backdoors to Bam because he is a good passer out of those short rolls, and he can find guys on the backside. It's going to be an interesting chess match offensively and defensively, which is why I think it's actually a really good NBA Finals matchup. I think either matchup, Nuggets or Celtics or Nuggets and Heat, I don't think it should change the narrative of if this NBA Finals is going to be a good NBA Finals just because the number of the seed by their team name. I'm still very, it's the same problems that the Celtics would have had against the Nuggets, playing defense against the Nuggets. The same kind of problem with the Nuggets defensively trying to guard the Celtics. Obviously, they have to worry about more threes, but it's a little bit of different look offensively. There's just a Jimmy Butler difference, right? Who likes to operate more in the mid-range. Will that be more advantageous for Denver, who can kind of sit back and pack it more? And will the other guys for the Heat bomb away from three? Just like the same thing. Will Mike Malone pick his poison? Is he going to shut off the Jimmy Butler thing, the Butler well? And hope that Strus and Caleb Martin goes cold, Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson coming in. Is he going to let those guys bomb away or not? It's going to be interesting to see. Correlation case time. I started to think about it a little bit with the Heat last time they're in the finals. It was in the bubble. It was against the Los Angeles Lakers. And it's the same thing like with the Lakers against the Nuggets. The Lakers won the NBA Finals that year 4-2 in the series, went six games, and Lakers were, I think, a one seed or a two seed, something like that, and the Heat were like a four or five seed again. So based on the number beside their name, they weren't expected to be a very good team, right? And yes, the Lakers won the series in six, but that series was actually closer than a lot of scores indicate. And I think that's what gets lost in all of this, is that I think the final margin for most, if not all, of these games in the Denver Nuggets, the Miami Heat, in this current finals are going to be close. Certainly there's always one or two that are just random blowouts, right? We get that every finals. It always seems to happen. But overall, in general, I think we'll get at least one blowout. In general, I think all of these games could be close. And I think we do them because of most of these playoffs have been pretty, large margin victories. Nothing that has really been interesting or edge of your seat, right? Like Celtics Heat game six, that was edge of your seat. Turn right back around game seven, blowout. So unless it's just a new trend in the NBA where everything's a blowout, when you don't have it, you just don't have it, and you're going to lose by 10 plus regardless. I think this is going to be a pretty close series. So gambling wise, with two things, I'm just going to take the spread and everything for the Heat in every game, no matter how long it goes. The Nuggets sweep, I'm going to take the Heat plus the points in every single matchup. If I'm wrong, then I go 0 for 4. Fine. But I think there's a really good case, like the margin or the spread for game one is 8.5, and money's coming in on the Nuggets to cover that. It could climb to 9, 9.5 by tomorrow, or by the time you're hearing it, by Thursday afternoon. I'm going to take the Heat. That's just going to be my automatic play for this entire finals, because I think it's going to be a close finals in general. I may get one blowout, but if I win the other four or five, I'm okay. The other thing that I really like gambling wise is I like Jimmy's assist numbers. In the two games that they played in the regular season, he got, I think, eight assists in one game and nine assists in the other one. And I think his line currently for game one is 5.5. And I know it's juiced to the over. I think it was -150 or -140 something last time I saw that. So I am playing Jimmy automatic over assist in probably every game unless the Nuggets adjust something. Because I think with Aaron Gordon walling up, taking away his scoring creation, and with Jokic pinching down off of Bam Adebayo to kind of double on that, I think we're going to see Jimmy do a lot of creation stuff. And he's going to create for other guys. He's going to commit that extra guy. The only risk to it is if he's throwing it to Bam, Bam might be the guy who gets the assist because he's then doing the subsequent action on the opposite side, right? So I'm probably going to look at both. There might be some games where I pair both together in like a same game parlay. But those are two guys, Bam and Jimmy, for sure, that I'm going to be looking at their assist numbers for almost every matchup in this series. X factors. Now, these aren't. Maybe I shouldn't say X factors as in like, oh, they'll win because of this, but I have basically five of them that are like X factor keys that I'm going to be really paying attention to because I think it's going to be a good barometer of where this series is going or where it might be going. First off is Michael Porter Jr. His shooting split so far in the playoffs, 45% from the field, 41% from three, 81% from the free throw line. Under his season average, I think he averaged about 17 points, a little bit above during the regular season, averaging just below 15 points per game during the playoffs. And he is just a matchup nightmare for the Miami Heat, especially if they're going to go to that zone at times. He's just flat out taller than everybody else on the Miami Heat. I mean, he's legitimate 6'10, 6'9, 6'10. I think Bam Adebayo, as an undersized forward, is maybe 6'8, 6'9. Like, he's literally taller than everybody else on the court. That's a wing defender that he can shoot over. Now, he usually just doesn't straight up pull up in front of guys' faces. He will, but a lot of his stuff has been in transition. He'll do pull up on fast breaks. He could be in a really nice spot in a zone if Miami goes to it heavily if they need to. And he's probably going to be the beneficiary of guys sagging off. And is he going to have a good shooting series? Like, if you told me that you took me in the future 3 weeks and said Michael Porter Jr. shot 40 plus percent from three in the NBA Finals on volume that he usually shoots, 6 to 7 threes a game, I would say that the Nuggets would win the series. I think that's how big of an X factor he's going to be, is his shooting, and if it's going to relieve a lot of pressure for Jokic and Murray. The other thing is Miami's undrafted free agents going to hold up? We're getting to the finals. They've held up all playoffs. They've all had their moments where they've added things, but Caleb Martin, Duncan Robinson, Max Strus. Well, was Max Strus drafted? I can't remember now. But Gabe Vincent, are these guys going to hold up in the finals? And I think they will. I think they're going to be good in the finals. I don't think Caleb Martin is going to have the same kind of, excuse me, production that he had in the Eastern Conference Finals, but I still think he's going to be a good player that's going to contribute 10 to 12 to 13 points per game. Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, I think they're going to have a good series. Duncan Robinson is always a wild card. Is he on or is he not? He can give the Nuggets some problems and all those movement coming off screen shots. So I think they'll hold up, and I think they're a big part of why this series will be close, right? It can't just be Jimmy Butler and Bam. It's going to have to be a couple of these guys, and maybe we get a throwback Kyle Lowry performance because he seems to have one every series, right? Where he goes for 15 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. So are we going to get another one of those in the finals? We'll see. But the other thing, X Factor, just to iterate it again, Spo's poison choice. Like, which one is he going to take? Is he going to go with the approach to start of taking away Jokic and Murray and let everybody else beat him, or the opposite? That's what I mentioned to see kind of unfold throughout the series. I've already mentioned that the first time jitters for the Denver Nuggets. It's a real thing. And I don't think it was so heavily noticed in a series like the Milwaukee Bucks Phoenix Suns series, because it was both teams' first times with that core, anyways, right? So they both had first time jitters. And that series came down to one or two plays that were like clutch defensive plays, rebounding plays, and a block, right, from Giannis. So I think the Heat being there, and they've been in that position or very close last year, Heat, Jimmy Butler three away from making the finals last year. Now they're in the finals again since the bubble. Like, I think that DNA is an advantage for the Heat. And I'm interested to see how the Nuggets, the first time guys, basically everybody on this team is a first timer besides what KCP, which is an interesting parallel talking about that bubble with the Lakers versus the Heat. KCP was on that Lakers team, right? And the other thing I failed to mention with that Lakers Heat series in the bubble, that is another X factor here with the first time jitters, is the Lakers absolutely destroyed the Miami Heat on the offensive glass. And are the Denver Nuggets going to be able to recreate that? Because with their first time jitters, are they going to be able to recreate extra possessions on the offensive glass? Now, I feel like that's something that Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, they learned from the 2020 bubble of they know how important it is to defensive rebound. But I think it's going to be ultra important for Mike Malone and them to create extra possessions and to get on the offensive glass. So that is really, to me, the difference in that bubble championship, was that the Lakers just beat up the Heat on the offensive glass to create extra possessions. Will the Nuggets be able to recreate that again? Because with that championship DNA, KCP hit some big shots for the Lakers in 2020. He's on this Nuggets team again, facing against the Heat, Jimmy Butler and them. I think the only other player who might have been in a finals was maybe Jeff Green with one of the Cavs years, but I don't think he played, but I can't remember. I didn't look that up because it's Jeff Green. He'll probably play some spot minutes if they need him, but I wouldn't expect to see him too much in this series. The final thing that I have as an X factor here, and this is a real, real X factor right here, right? Like, this is a deep cut, is Tyler Hero's return. Now, I've seen different reports that he's not ready for game one. I've seen he could be ready by game three. I've seen that he could not be back at all. He has played well against the Denver Nuggets. And the interesting thing for Spoelstra is if he's going to actually play Hero, if he's able to come back. Because you wouldn't say that they got worse when Hero went out with his hand stuff, right? It seems like they got tighter as a unit and got better, but I think they are going to need that offensive creation, that pop from someone else in the finals. But then you're trading away some of your defensive stuff because he's not a good defender. I mean, they're already playing Duncan Robinson, not a large amount of minutes, but he's getting those kind of minutes, and he's even worse defensively than Tyler Hero is. So I would imagine that Spoelstra would try it, especially if they're in a deep hole, like 3-0, or they're down 2-0 coming, back home. And in both games 1 and 2, they were kind of ran off the court, like they lost 120 to 100, right? In both games, like they can barely crack 100 points. I would think that he would try Tyler Hero. So I think Hero is a really interesting X factor with this finals. And if he's going to come back, and if he does, is Spoelstra going to bring him back at a regular kind of thing, or is it going to be on his original role, which was a bench role playing score, right? So those are my kind of X factors to this. The final thought I have really before I give you my prediction here, and I know everybody's been waiting. You've been waiting 30 plus minutes now for an actual prediction. You're probably tired of hearing my voice just by myself. But don't worry, you're about to get a break and you're going to get Cody's voice by himself for a few minutes. Before I talk about my prediction, I want to, everybody's talked about nobody wants the Denver Nuggets Miami Heat series because nobody wants to watch it. And although I don't think that's true, I do think in the NBA itself, they do have a vested interest in the Denver Nuggets winning this over the Miami Heat. And that's not because of any big market or blue blood, quote unquote, NBA franchises. To me, if the Miami Heat win this NBA Finals, it would be an embarrassment for the NBA because it is putting a bigger spotlight on the regular season being unserious and how unimportant it is. Because you had an 8 seed who punted basically the entire season, who would play guys on and off all the time, who just won enough games to get into the play-in scenario and barely got in after that, to all of a sudden put that team together and make and win the NBA Finals, I think would actually be a real embarrassing talking point for the NBA. Because it's going to bring up all of these conversations about the regular season. Season's too long. Look at the Miami Heat. Other teams that have aspirations to win an NBA championship, like the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George, we've seen it from them. Unfortunately, Kawhi and Paul George aren't Jimmy in their not health luck, but their sustainability, right? They've been trying to do the same thing. It just hasn't worked out. With the Heat, Jimmy Butler has been able to hang on. He's been able to last. He's been durable. That's the word I'm looking for. He's been durable. Him and Bam have been durable. And they've been able to fit all these other free agent guys that were formerly cut from other teams that were given up on. And they put this together with him and Bam, with Jimmy and Bam. They just make it to the playoffs after being the 1 seed in the East last year. They just make it to the playoffs and now they put it together and they make and win the finals. I think that would be a huge embarrassment to the NBA and it would make a lot of teams who already NBA teams aren't as serious about the NBA regular season, right? Like this is why it's the dumbest thing why for us Grizzlies fans we're upset that they don't win 50 plus games. Who cares? Like, honestly, they won 56 games last year. They won 50 games this year. And the health luck still didn't help them, but they still won 50 games. Like, it doesn't matter. What's the difference between 46 and 47 and 50? And you can say seed and all that stuff. We've seen this year, seed does not matter. You had a 7 and a 6 seed playing each other in the second round, you had a 7 and an 8 seed in the conference finals, you have an 8 seed in the final. You have an 8 seed that could win, realistically win an NBA Finals. So seeding just does not matter anymore. And is that because of home court stuff? Maybe so. Is it the way the NBA is played now? Probably most of it. But players and agents and teams specifically, if the Miami Heat has an 8 seed, sleepwalk their way into the playoffs, roll off this run, and win the NBA championship, the NBA does not want that. They do not want that to be their summer conversation because that is what most people are going to talk about. is not about the Heat being an awesome team that made this historic run and knocked off the Denver Nuggets, who are the best team all playoffs. It's going to be about how the NBA regular season does not matter. And that is bad for TV rights deals. Now to get to my prediction. Everybody, like I said at the beginning, Cody has a Denver Nuggets in five. A lot of people I've seen Nuggets in five, Nuggets in six. I can be flat wrong, and I'll totally admit that after this series if it goes that way. I've got the Miami Heat in seven. Miami beat the Bucks round one. I get it. Giannis was injured for a couple of them. They barely make it into the playoffs. Well, they were, they lost to the Hawks. And then they should have probably lost to the Bulls. They shouldn't be in this position. They beat the Bucks. They beat the Knicks handily. Dominate the Knicks, I would say. After the Knicks dominated the Cavaliers, I think that domination over the Knicks is more impressive than people think. And then they're up 3-0 at Boston. Two games, back-to-back games in Boston on their home floor. They go up 2-0 and don't have a letdown going home and go up 3-0 on what I think is the best team in the NBA. The Boston Celtics are the best team in the NBA this year. Could you have said this series between Miami and Boston should have ended in five and six? Like if Gabe Vincent doesn't have that ankle turn? I can't remember if it was game five, maybe it was game four or game five, but could they have won in five if Gabe isn't out for that game? Maybe. If Derek White doesn't have that amazing putback. This is closed out in six. And then they still turn around after a 3-3 tie, giving up that 3-0 lead, go into Boston and beat them by 20. I'm riding with the Heat. I'm all Heat culture. I'm going with Jimmy Butler. I'm going with Bam Adebayo, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra. I believe in the team. I think it's their time. I think they're due. I mean, the betting books have the Nuggets as basically an 80% favor, 80% chance of winning the NBA Finals. And I think that is grossly underestimating this Miami Heat team for this run that they've done in a better conference this year in the NBA season. I'm picking Miami Heat in seven. So that's my choice. Now you're going to get Cody doing Last Mascot Standing. So thank you for sticking throughout the episode. Here's Cody with a couple of matchups here. I haven't really listened to this yet. So hopefully it's okay and I don't have to edit too much. But thanks for listening. Hope everybody enjoys the finals. Here's Cody.
This week's episode of Free Basketball is a little bit different. Ryan and I are bad at scheduling. So this week, instead of our normal podcast that you would get where both of us are talking to one another, you're going to get both of us talking by ourselves. That's right. This is basically the episode of the podcast that's like a group project that neither of us communicated on. So we are both doing our parts separately and we're just praying that they go together. Turns out that they do go together because we do an episode of Last Mascot Standing every week or most weeks. So you're getting one this week. So far in our bracket, we've gone through almost two rounds. We have two matchups left in this round. This week we're gonna go one of them, maybe two. We might finish the bracket this week. I might be feeling it. In our first matchup, we have the Hornets of Charlotte versus the Hawks of Atlanta. Now, on first glance, Hornets are pretty scary, and Hawks people aren't. But what if I told you that birds eat wasps and stinging insects like hornets? Right? Exactly. See, you didn't know that. Now you do. And birds are probably a lot less scary to people. But we're not talking about birds versus people. We're talking about Hornets versus birds. And in this Hornets versus Hawks matchup, I gotta say, I think it's the Hawks. What is a Hornet gonna do against a Hawk? I'm waiting. Nothing. A Hornet's not gonna do anything. A Hornet would have to call 100 of his friends to take down a Hawk. Because let me tell you what else eats hornets. Gray catbirds an oriole, a bluebird, bro. Hornets are getting taken out left and right by all kinds of weak birds. We haven't even gotten up to hawks yet. So if you think that a hornet's going to take down a hawk, you're mistaken, bro. So you can get out of here, hornets, hawks advance. All right. That's a pretty big move for the hawks. The hawks are in big territory now. It's going to be interesting. You know what is interesting about this? This list has a lot of, like, Native American animals. Like, things that, like, we got grizzlies, wolves, bulls, and hawks in here. We got the Rockets and the Wizards. And our final matchup of this round, are you ready for it? It's the Cavaliers of Cleveland versus the Blazers of Portland. So, Trailblazers versus Cavaliers. So, this is like the Three Musketeers versus Davy Crockett, basically. Is it Lewis and Clark? Or the Three Musketeers, whose names I can't remember. So, you tell me. But it's only me on this, so you can't really tell me. But you gotta think about it this way. Cavaliers are running around with swords, right? I don't know. They're on horseback. They've got swords. They're kind of musketeer-like, I'm pretty sure, in this vision of the Cavaliers that the Cleveland people have. So, if this is the case, what we got to take into consideration is the fact that a trailblazer probably has a gun. They weren't moving into the new world. Lewis and Clark didn't go west through the St. Louis Arch with the machete. No, they went through there with guns. So I'm pretty sure that the Blazers are going to beat the Cavaliers in this matchup. So, that's this round of Last Mascot Standing. Blazers are going to win that one. So, we have our final thing set here. We have the Grizzlies, the Wolves, we have the Bulls, we have the Hawks, we have the Rockets, we have the Wizards, and we have the Blazers in there. So, next week, when me and Ryan are both together, we're going to have... we're going to start talking these round two matchups. I think we're going to have to decide on who gets a bye or maybe a fun idea. One of these teams that got knocked out can buy themselves back in. We'll have to figure that out. Probably not going to do that though. So we're going to choose which one gets a bye next week and then we'll go from there. But if you guys have any questions or you're upset with any of my decisions, let me know.